The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Mary, always a pleasure to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you too, Anton.
It's one thing to have a sort of a seminal album, because A Woman's Heart was one of the most significant albums in Irish history. But it's another to be part of effectively an empire of musicians, both brothers, sisters, and now son and daughter successful as well.
Yes, and nieces and nephews. I have to add in my niece Aoife, whose birthday it is today, and Owen Scott. They're both great musicians. So it's lovely to see the next generation as well coming through. And it's amazing, actually.
Do you get competitive at all? Do you ring Danny up and say, whatever about the coronas, I've just sold out the Olympia again?
Well, sometimes if I think his head is getting a bit big, I'd say to him, well, I did five nights in the Point sold out, like back in the old days when, you know,
that was the Point was the Point.
Yeah. And or maybe 10 nights in the Olympia. Talk to me when you've done 10 nights sold out in Olympia. So there is a bit of that banter. All right. You know.
And you do have a tour coming up. You're going to be in the Cork Opera House on October 2nd, Ulster Hall, the 20th, Vicar Street, then on the 23rd. You're doing the Olympia again. You're going to be in Kilkenny. So you're fairly busy through the month of October.
Yes. Yeah. It's starting up, and there's it's great because they're all beautiful venues for different reasons, and they're places that I have been to for the last, I'd say, 30 years. I'm kind of on the go, and so, or more. I actually have 40 years from my first album next year. Yeah.
You were only six when that first album came out, though, of course.
Yeah, I was 12 and a half. Well, I was quite young, but that was 1983 when I recorded my first solo album. But I had been with Dé Danann before that, and I did a bit of work with another band. So I have been kicking around an awful long time.
Of the venues that you described there, is there a particular favourite? I hear artists a lot talk about the Olympia and saying that they particularly like it because of a sense of intimacy.
I love the Olympia. It's kind of like I always feel I'm kind of home when I go to sing at the Olympia. It's a beautiful place for acoustics. It's intimate. But then again, you have Vicar Street, which is a different vibe again, and it's amazing.
And similarly intimate. Everybody is quite close in and tighty in Vicar Street.
Honest to God, they can nearly touch your toes, you know, that way. So you're right, you know, everyone's close to you, really close to you. So, they're both great. That's why I want to do both. I could do two nights in one venue or two nights in the other venue, do it that way. But I just love the mix, you know.
And how much do you and the band feed off the audience? Does it make a difference to you?
Oh, my God. When I came back that time, there was a little moment where we'd had a tour. I won't talk too much about COVID, but coming up on the 11th of March when COVID hit and everything was cancelled and we were rehearsing to go out. And there was the time off, and then there was an in-between place where things opened up. So I got the opportunity to sing eight of the 12 gigs that I had in. And it was incredible. The feeling that we got from the audience, so much so that they were the best gigs we've ever done, honestly. It's just that feeling of being back on stage and having been through that shit, you know. Everybody was through the same shit. It's okay to say that. And, it was just wonderful. And it's funny, when that happens, when you have a great audience, it makes your night so much easier and so much, you know, more fun. So I love that. I love party participation.
Do you? Because I'm always reminded of that. You know that Christy Moore line where I can't remember which album it is on here. But I think it was the live album in The Point where he stops midway through the intro of one song as the audience is singing along and says, lads, it's not Shag and Dire Straits you have here, and gets them to quiet down.
Yeah, I know some people don't like it, but you see, I came from a family of where everyone always joined in the chorus. We're chorus singers, you know, like we all, the harmonies and, you know, whatever. And I always think it makes for a better night. I love to see people enjoying themselves and singing along. And my songs, I suppose, because there's so many albums through the years and people grew up with them. And now I'm getting younger. People come to the gigs that were probably, you know, driven mad by their parents playing my stuff in the car or whatever. But now they want to go back to it, you know. And you get gangs of women coming in, singing their heads off, Bright Blue Rose. And it's great.
Do you have particular favourites that you enjoy performing? Or at this stage, is it that you are so used to those songs that you throw them off as nothing?
Yeah, well, you see, I suppose because I'm not touring as much as I used to. So when it does happen, it's kind of special. And I don't know how long more it's going to last. You know, that kind of feeling. So I cherish every gig now more than I have done in the past. In the past, I'd be probably saying, oh, God, you know, this is hard work. Or, you know, the travelling used to be really hard work. So I've given up a lot of that abroad, you know. So, I'm cherishing it more and more now because I know it's going to come to an end. And, so at some stage, I'm not quite ready yet, but I do think about it, you know. And,
Because so, presumably it is tiring. I mean, just sitting backstage, getting the adrenaline going, walking, like that's, it's a lot of the evening focused entirely on you and on your shoulders.
It's more than that. It's the day, really, because you're, you know, you have your sound checks and, you know, you're on the go and, you know, the getting ready side and you're travelling to the gig if it's Cork, if it's Belfast, whatever. So it is. And then there's an energy that you use on a stage that you can't even measure, you know, it's great. The buzz is fantastic. It's better than ever.
Is there a difficult come down at the end of it? Does it take you a while to decompress after a gig, to switch off?
Oh, it does, yeah. Yeah, I like to have a glass or two of wine after my gig. And they're the best two glasses of wine ever, you know, especially if they've gone well, which thankfully they usually do. So, yeah, it's great. You're not asking me about my appearance on the Electric Picnic.
Oh, I did it.
On Sunday.
How was it?
Oh, my God.
And you got the only bit of good weather as well.
The Sunday was just fantastic. We got there at 1 o'clock in the day and there was the build up to the Coronas. I was invited to sing Get Up With The Coronas. I've never been to Electric Picnic. And every year I say, definitely I'm going to go next year because everyone.
You have never been?
Never been. And I was never invited to sing. So I said, well, fair play to the Coronas for bringing me up to sing.
Exactly, yeah. I hear good things about them. Lead singer's nice.
It was amazing. The buzz was just unbelievable. The day was beautiful. And we just had a great day. Real good family day. Because Roisin was playing with them as well, my daughter.
And of course, because this is the first Electric Picnic back after, what, a two-year hiatus, there must have been that sense. I mean, like you describe as those 8 gigs that you managed to do in the middle of COVID. God, I assume the same vibe.
To look at like 50,000 people singing a song, singing Here's a Ghost with Danny on his own and on their own, even he stopped playing the guitar and they're singing it, you know. It's just amazing, amazing to see. Great to see it. And a great, honestly, if you ever get a chance, anybody out there, if you haven't been to Electric Picnic, you can't imagine how great it is.
I assume you did the camping.
I did me eye. That's something I won't do. No, no. We went home about, we got a bus back about 1 o'clock in the morning and that was enough for me. But no, I think if you're younger, people don't mind. And it's hard when it's raining. That is tough. But like, I never heard anybody complain. No, you know, they love it so much, you know.
And did you not get a decent weather window on the Sunday? I thought there was a brief moment of half decent. Oh, good.
Oh, no, Sunday was beautiful. The sun shone all day.
Oh, yeah, because the Saturday
I think the
didn't
rain was the night, the night before and the Friday night. Yeah.
That's a real commitment to music when you're willing to sleep
to
in
there,
a sodden tent.
Oh, well, when I was young, I would have done it.
Would you?
Oh, I would have, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the first time that you and Danny and Roisin have performed together?
Not really. There's been the odd occasion where they got up with me and sang maybe in Vicar Street or that. Yeah, I think we did Grace together at one stage and, you know, the odd time Danny and Roisin have played with me. But in front of an audience that size, unbelievable, like, you know, just amazing.
Did you have any wariness about them following in your footsteps in terms of music? Because it's one of those professions where, you know, it's hard to be sure where the next hot meal comes from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the early days, I said to him, you know, like, it's not just about talent because there's so many talented people out there who never make it. You have to work hard and be lucky, you know, be kind of in the right place, the right time, or, you know, a one song can be the making of you. And if you don't get that one song that gets airplay and becomes a classic or whatever, then you might be in trouble, you know. I suppose I just said the pitfalls. They both went to college and did a degree, which I thought was great because, I mean, the music was always there when they were doing that. But I thought, well, if you've something to fall back on, it'd be good, you know, because there's no guarantees at all, like, you know.
Did you know when that thing of the one song that you need, do you know it when you hear it or do you have to see how it performs in sales?
Something usually catches me when I hear a song. I mean, I've been so blessed with songwriters in Ireland, you know, particularly in Ireland, you know, Jimmy McCarthy's songs, No Frontiers. There's no songs in the world that are as good as those songs in my book. Well, as good as. And, you know, I just feel that there's people like Noel Brazil and, you know, Mick Hanley, Past the Point of Rescue, some amazing songwriters in Ireland. And I've been blessed to have amazing, you know, material to work with all my life. So again, that's luck, you know. That's probably was half of my success.
Can you remember the first point of luck? Can you remember the one where you said, yeah, now I know I'm going to make it. This is working. This is taking off.
I think when Katie was released, that was By the Time It Gets Dark album, and there was a bit of a buzz, a real sort of, you know, rumble of, like, you know, and everywhere we went to play was stuffed, and that was a turning point. But No Frontiers was the big album for us because it brought us outside of Ireland. It brought us to America. We were signed by Curb Records. We were signed by King Records in Japan, in Australia, you know, and it really began to take off globally for us then. And that was the beginning of my time away from my kids and stuff, which was tough. You know,
how long
really
did that
tough.
Last? How long were you touring internationally for on those
albums?
Oh,
I only gave it up in 2016. That was my last tour around the world outside of Ireland. Yeah.
To the same degree of time and commitment?
Well, maybe not quite. We probably wouldn't have gone around as often. Like there were times I went twice to America, twice or three times to America in 1 year. But then I would be shorter trips. I wouldn't do a U2 6 month on the road thing because I couldn't do that. I have three small kids. But I would do a 3 week stint. And we might do the East Coast first and then we go back later and do the West Coast or do Midwest and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's quite.
And did you tend to bring the kids with you or? Or is that almost impossible
no,
when you're touring?
They were in school and stuff, you know, but Joe was always there and my mother was great help and Frances, my sister, would help out and I'd help her out when she was away. Just a bit of good, strong kind of support in the background.
On the subject of the
happen.
Sister, have you any desire to follow in her footsteps into politics?
No, I don't know how she does it. She's amazing. She really is amazing, you know.
I mean, whatever about, in terms of the two most challenging careers you can have, if music is one, yeah. politics is the other. That's,
yeah, She loves it though. You know, she's very passionate about what she does.
You describe, when you talk about touring, when you talk about going to the States, you said we and you talk about us. Do you see it as you and the band? Is it the same set of musicians that you play with all the time?
I have the most amazing band. I mean, it's funny, there's never a gig that I finish off doing and people come up and say, you have an amazing band. They're incredible musicians, most of which have been with me for a long time. And Bill Shanley is my guitar player, who's out touring with Gilbert O'Sullivan at the moment. He's been with me for like 26 or 27 years now. And it's amazing. Pat Crowley is my piano player. He's from Cork too, and he's been with me for 36 years or something like that. So yeah, a lot of them have been there a long time, and they're brilliant musicians.
You must develop a little unspoken language when you play. Then, like, I assume you don't even have to particularly talk about things. You know each other's pattern of play and interaction.
Yeah, there's a feel there that's important, and a groove that you get into when you in certain songs, and you know, most of the time. Those guys nail it. I've never ever had, I mean, early on maybe, or if you bring in a new musician who mightn't have played with you for a while or somebody who has to, you know, step in at the last minute, it changes things completely. Now, maybe the audience might notice that, but I would. And yeah, you know, it takes a while to click into that, lock into something like that. And they are amazing.
Do you ever feel like they're cheating on you when they're off doing that, like Bill playing with Gilbert O'Sullivan?
No, I mean, he's trying to make a living out of music. My God, he's got three kids and they're all in school and, you know, playing sports and all the things. So long as he's there for me, and most of the time he does make me a priority. So that I'm happy for them. Happy for them to do other work. No problem at all.
Well, if you want to see Mary and Bill and Pat and Nick, Richie, Liam and all of the guys in the band, they are going to be touring through October. They're in the Cork Opera House, the Ulster Hall, Vicar Street. There's a gig in Kilkenny. There's another gig then in the Olympia. So you've choice of venues in Dublin, depending on where you want to see her. And I assume it's all Ticketmaster.ie if people want tickets.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Hope the gigs go great. Lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks a million.
That is the one and only Mary Black.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.